What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by Eric Moody of ESPN. He can be found on Twitter at Eric N. Moody. Eric, it is good to see you, my friend. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good to see you as well. And yeah, things are going great. I'd say if I were any better, I'd be a twin. But no, things are going phenomenal. I am looking forward to preseason games, start of the NFL season. So the marathon is about to begin, right, Kyle?
That's exactly it. And last week we had the Hall of Fame game, but like we got two series of Josh Jacobs. We got a couple series of Josh Jacobs there. But this week we actually start to get some starters in there. We're actually going to get to see these guys in the field, which I am absolutely looking forward to. All right, Eric, let's play a game here right off the top. We waste no time here on the podcast, getting right into the content. Let's do a game here. Training camp hype check. Danny Kelly, good friend of mine over at The Ringer, put out an article just the other day, taking a look at some of the players that have just absolutely been all the buzz here in training camp here. And so what I want to do is turn this over to you. We're going to run through a few of these players here, and I'm going to ask you if you're buying or selling the hype. Is this someone that you are rising up your rankings? You're really not moving them. So we'll take it right here. We'll dip our toes in the water with Brandon Ayuk. All the talk for Brandon Ayuk coming out of 49ers camp is that he is absolutely dominating. He's getting open at will. Are you buying or selling this hype? Are you rising Brandon Ayuk up your rankings for 2022?
Yeah, no, I would consider him someone that I would rise. If you look at Brandon Ayuk last year, now I know part of the season he was in the doghouse, but if you look in five of his last 10 games, I'm like, this is a guy that finished with 85 or more receiving yards. I know he had 16 receptions of 20 yards or more, averaged 6.7 yards after the catch. So I think that's the Ayuk that we'll see in 2022 for the 49ers. And I do like him quite a bit, just compared with his ADP to someone like Debo Samuel. So I'm buying it.
Yeah, that's going to be the decision that a lot of fantasy managers are going to have to make here is, do you pay up that top 10 pick for Debo Samuel, or do you wait in the wide receiver 30 range and just grab Brandon Ayuk later on? With an offense that is going through a major shift with Trey Lance at quarterback, we don't know how things are going to play out here. I would lean more on the Ayuk side there. Romeo Dubs is the next guy who has been all the talk here. Coming out of Packers camp, the rookie wide receiver out of Nevada. Romeo Dubs, are you buying or selling this hype? You moving him up your rankings?
Yeah, I would say I'm buying it, but he's not like someone who's going to make like a drastic, you know, jump from where he's at. But just given the state of the Green Bay Packers and their wide receiver room, I'm like, any notable news, you know, about the wide receivers, you have to take notice. So I would say I'm buying it.
For me, I'm in that same camp. I'm buying it, but slightly. I'm not dramatically moving him up into the like top 50 wide receivers or anything like that. This is someone that you want to keep an eye on. I don't know if he's worth drafting in your typical redraft leagues, but if you're in a deeper format, he's worth keeping an eye on there, taking a shot in the final rounds. Isaiah McKenzie. This was a situation early on in the offseason. Jamison Crowder signed to the Buffalo Bills. We thought, all right, here's the starting slot wide receiver. And Isaiah McKenzie has been the one who has taken all the slot role here in Buffalo training camp. So you buying or selling the hype here on Isaiah McKenzie?
Yeah, I guess for those that do follow me on Twitter, they're already going to know what my answer is. So it is something that I'm buying, because Isaiah McKenzie's had a chance to really showcase what he can do. I know Jamison Crowder has been kind of banged up, but you know, I mentioned this on social media and I'll mention it here. The slot receivers play such a crucial role, like in the Bills offense. If you look over the past two seasons, like Buffalo's run like 1,534 plays with three wide receivers, fifth most. But if you look at four receiver sets, the Bills have run more than 100 plays of this type, more so than any other team. And then to bring all that together, you got Josh Allen, who loves to target his slot receivers. The only quarterback that targets their slot receivers more is Patrick Mahomes. So I am buying the hype on Isaiah McKenzie. And I'll leave you with this. He's someone that you shouldn't leave your fantasy football draft without prioritizing in the double digit rounds.
All right. McKenzie is interesting for me because it's probably something where I want to see it first before I really, really buy in. Now his ADP is perfectly fine where, you know, you're going to be able to take that shot 15th, 14th round, whatever. And it's not going to crush you if it doesn't work out. But McKenzie up to this point of his career has been just a punt and kick returner, right? And a gadget type player. So I want to see it really before I fully buy in. But it is something where I'm keeping an eye on it. I guess I'll land somewhere in the middle there with buy or sell. Isaiah Pacheco, the guy who has seen his ADP absolutely skyrocket here. The seventh round rookie for the Kansas City Chiefs. Nothing but positive news coming out of camp for this player here in Kansas City. So you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Ronald Jones, they signed in the offseason. Pacheco out of Rutgers here. What are your thoughts here with Pacheco moving into the season?
Yeah, and this is a tough one. Everyone on Twitter is abuzz on this one. So I would say I'm buying it. You know, I'm buying Pacheco. Any positive buzz coming out of the Chiefs camp when as it relates to the backfield is something that I'm noticing, especially considering that he's gotten comparisons to Kareem Hunt. We all remember fondly how great his rookie season was, you know, from a touches per game perspective and fantasy points per game perspective. So I'm buying it.
For me, I'm going to be a little bit more reserved here. I'm going to go with Pacheco as a sell in as far as the training camp hype, where I think this is a more long term. So in Dynasty, I do think that he is worth acquiring. I do think that he is taking a shot on late in your drafts, whatever. But for this year, he's someone where this is still a seventh round rookie. This is still a guy where it's very rare for those kind of guys to come in and immediately take over the starting role or to be, you know, key contributors for a lineup, especially too when I do think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Ronald Jones, they're going to get first shots here. I think Pacheco is worth keeping an eye on. I think he will make the 53-man roster, and he could be a contributor if he gets an opportunity later on in the year. I'm just not instantly buying into he's going to be a, you know, a starter in this lineup right out of the gates. Last one here, George Pickens, the rookie wide receiver out of Georgia, has been tearing it up at Pittsburgh Steelers camp. I love Pickens coming into the NFL draft. The landing spot was kind of like, okay, he's more probably a 2023 thing, but I might be changing my tune on that. What are your thoughts here with George Pickens going into the year?
Yeah, with Pickens, I'm like, those highlights have been have been like intriguing. I know they've been blowing up on social media. I would say for this one, you know, I'm just an optimistic guy. It's like I'm buying it, but just with temperate expectations. And the main reason being just the target share that you know, Deontay Johnson is expected, you know, to see. I'm like, you've got Johnson that's there. I'm like, he's someone that I've got projected for, I'll say, around like 140 to 145 targets. Then you got Chase Claypool that's there who could end up getting like another 100 or so. Then you've got Pickens for where he could see, you know, I would say 80 to 85 targets. I think the thing that I want to monitor the most during the preseason is how does Chase Claypool look? Yeah. How does he perform? Because he could easily siphon off some of those targets I've currently have projected for Claypool, and then that's going to make him even more attractive in fantasy format. So just some quick thoughts.
Yep, same here for me. It's all dependent upon Claypool. If we get some negative news about Claypool, we start to see, like, maybe early on in the season that he is not getting the full complement of snaps, then that's going to be where I am really moving Pickens up the rest of the season rankings or stuff like that. He's got the talent. It's just a matter of the opportunity. All right, let's run through some latest news here. Not a ton to break down since the recording of the last podcast here, so I'll just zip right through these. Jameis Winston is listed as day-to-day after spraining his right foot. Treylon Burks, the rookie wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans, is working through some rookie growing pains. He's working with the twos and threes in training camp, but he has still been impressive, according to reports. Do you think, I'll throw this to you here really quick, Eric. Do you think that Treylon Burks, this, you know, he's working with the twos and threes. Do you think this is similar to what we saw with Ja'Marr Chase last year? And the, you know, he's going through the drops. We got all these concerns, but when it comes time to play, Burks is going to be fine. What are your thoughts here with Burks?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of overreaction. I do think Burks will be fine. It's like, you know, you're a rookie in the NFL. You are going to have some growing pains, whether they're going to be, you know, positive growing pains or negative ones. And I just remember personally from taking the jump, you know, from like high school football to college, it does take some time to adjust. So I'm not overly concerned. But I think on the flip side, I think the number of fantasy managers are missing out on the potential value in Robert Woods. So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I do think Woods is an incredible value this year. This, I think, is only going to push Burks' ADP down the board even more, right? And I think that that's going to become a point where I'm definitely willing to take the shot on him. I love Burks coming out of Arkansas. The final two things here, Jakeem Grant tore his Achilles during practice on Tuesday, an electric player. You hate to see that. And Adam Shaheen was traded to the Texans. All right, remember, if you are listening to this over on the podcast, you can watch this over at youtube.com/thefantasyplaybook. Closing in on 6,000 subscribers in under 6 months. Absolutely incredible. Thank you guys so much for the support. If you're watching this, click that like button, hit the subscribe button. Greatly appreciate the support. And also in the YouTube description while you are there or in your podcast show notes, there is a link to join the free Discord. Over 800 people in the Discord here to ready to talk fantasy football with you. So a ton of activity every single day. I cannot keep up with how much activity is going on in there. So make sure to join into the completely free Discord over there in your YouTube description. All right, let's talk some league winners here, Eric. This is what everyone is here for, to find out the players that they should be targeting this year that could absolutely push their lineup over the top. So what we're going to do here is we're going to go back and forth. We each got four players that we believe are league winners this year, players that we are targeting everywhere that we absolutely can. So I'm going to throw this to you first. Who is that first player that you are targeting as a league winner this year?
You know what? Let's start off with Courtland Sutton. So I'll go into the rant on Courtland Sutton. So I think he's been a player that's gotten a lot of buzz like this offseason. You know, Russell Wilson being added to the Broncos, you know, a lot of people are talking about him on social. So I think what many fantasy managers may forget is that, you know, Sutton, he was like on the cusp of a wide receiver one season, like entering his third year back in 2020, you know, after finishing his wide receiver 19 way back in 2019. And everyone knows about the torn ACL really derailed his 2020 season. I felt like once he returned in 2021, I'm like, you know, in my opinion, he looked like his old self. I'm like, you know, it's a guy that had a 27% target share from weeks 2 through 7. You know, you had Jerry Jeudy, you know, who was injured. He returned. Then the Broncos offense kind of morphed into this run-heavy monstrosity with, like, Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater under center. I shudder just thinking about it. But, you know, Sutton finished, like, as a wide receiver, like, 44. It was just bad. I think it's notable from a statistical lens that he did finish with seventh in our receiving air yards, like right between like Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf and their pedestrian offense. So let's go to the positives and I'll kind of close the loop and pass it on to you. But, you know, the great news, you know, Sutton's another season removed from his ACL injury. He's got Russell Wilson under center. Denver traded for him. I think this is the season he can emerge as a top, you know, fantasy option, really for a Broncos franchise that I'll just say they've been desperately searching for adequate quarterback play since, you know, Manning retired back in 2015. Yeah. So you look at Wilson, he's been tearing it up in the Seahawks run heavy offense, you know, since 2016. I'm like, he's ranked 8th in completion, 6th in passing yards, 3rd in touchdowns. And you look at Seattle, like they were 31st in total passing attempts. So he's got Wilson, which is a good thing. They're going to lean heavily on the passing game. You've got Sutton that's really exceptional, like in vertical targets, large catch radius. So I think he's someone that's a nice value. I just know on ESPN's live draft trends, I'm like, Sutton's like the wide receiver 26 right now. But I think he can exceed expectations, though, and greatly outperform that.
So early on this offseason, I did a study here on the podcast where I said league winners and how to identify them. And looking back at last year and kind of studying some ADP and where players finished, and there were several players that, you know, qualified as league winners. Those players were Leonard Fournette, James Conner at the running back position, Cooper Kupp, Deebo Samuel, Ja'Marr Chase, and even Dalton Schultz at the tight end position. And you look at those names there, and what's the common theme with all of them? There was ambiguity at their position group on their respective offenses, right? Leonard Fournette, we didn't know if it was Fournette or Jones. James Conner, we didn't know if it was Conner or Edmonds. Cooper Kupp, we didn't know if it was Kupp or Woods. There is a consistent theme with all of them, and they were all in dynamic and good offenses. So Courtland Sutton, I think, and Jerry Jeudy, which is my player that I'm going to mention here as that league winner, my first player, and they go hand in hand because it reminds me so much of Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods last year, where I was saying draft Robert Woods everywhere you can because I thought that he was going to be the key player. And now Woods wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination, but we missed out on Cooper Kupp by planting that flag by absolutely just, you know, disregarding Cooper Kupp and saying it was going to be Woods. This year, I'm kind of looking at that theme, and that's what I'm going to carry through pretty much every league winner here, is looking at these players that have a little bit of ambiguity. We don't know how the things are going to play out in their respective offenses. So Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, in an offense that is going to be much, much improved. Look, you talked about Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. Man, how can it not go up here with Russell Wilson in town? I have them projected for 35 pass attempts per game this year. If, Jerry Jeudy, a 20% target share could be his easily. That means 7+ targets per game for a talent level like Jerry Jeudy. That is going to lead to great things. And I think a lot of people, the ADP for Courtland Sutton for Jerry Jeudy is a bit depressed because people don't know, you know, which one it's going to be. That's where we just take shots. If you're running in multiple leagues, diversify, right? In best ball, that's where you can diversify here. But I think there's a case to be made that Courtland Sutton could easily be that league winner this year, and it could be Jerry Jeudy. So I wanted to throw in Judy's name there as well, because we don't know how this is going to play out. I think it's worth targeting at least both of them if you can. Now, I will throw this to you, Eric. If you start out your draft here, where those ADPs are, you said wide receiver 26, like, and Jeudy, I think, is right around that range too. If you start out your draft going running back, would you be willing to target both of these guys as your wide receiver 1 and 2, or is that a little bit too much investment into this offense for your fantasy lineup?
Yeah, and I don't mind making that investment. You know, if you're able to snag both of them, with the unfortunate, you know, injury news with Tim Patrick, I'm like, they're going to dominate the wide receiver target share, and everyone's excited. Oh, KJ Hamler, yeah, that's great, but it's going to be the Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy show. So,
yep.
It's unorthodox, but I like it because you're going to lock down two of the top fantasy receivers in an offense that is going to have to throw the ball, to your point, Kyle, in the AFC West with, you know, the Raiders, you know, the Chiefs, the Chargers. So I like that move.
Yep. That's something where I'm warming up to the closer that we get to like drafts actually happening, is that kind of strategy where if I do go running back, or even if you do take a wide receiver there early on, like a Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson in that first round, coming back and getting Sutton and Jeudy as your wide receiver 2 and 3 could be an absolutely league winning strategy this year. All right, let's turn it back over to you. Your second league winner.
Yeah, let's talk about DeAndre Swift. You know, I like him quite a bit. I'm like, he's a running back that has the potential to finish, you know, as a top back in 2022. Thinking back to last season with Mr. Swift, like 13 games last year. I know he had 213 touches, you know, 1,069 total yards, 7 touchdowns. Look at target share. I know we talk about that a lot. Only running backs who had a higher one than Swift last season were Austin Ekeler, Alvin Kamara, Najee Harris, and Swift's in great shape this offseason, turning heads at camp. And I think he's someone that, you know, should exceed expectations. Now, I know some managers out there thinking, well, Moody, what about the injury history? What about the red flags? I get that. You know, he's missed some games over the last two seasons. But reports that I like to read, and something I think that's notable, is that he's been working with the coaching staff on how to better manage injuries throughout the season, and also how to better position himself on the field to take less contact when being tackled. And I think that's huge. Lions have got continuity on the coaching staff, you know, for once, with Dan Campbell, you know, returning. So I think it's notable, like midway through last season, like head coach Dan Campbell took over play calling duties. Jared Goff's play improved significantly. They got Ben Johnson, new offensive coordinator. Goff is pleased with the change. And the slight changes in the scheme, you know, based on reports. I think what Johnson's doing is really catering to plays, or I would say subtle changes in plays to make Goff even more comfortable, I'll say. So I'll close on this. So the Lions, you know, they have the personnel in place to replicate what made Goff so successful during his 2018 season with the Rams. You know, that was also a season that Todd Gurley finishes the RB3 in fantasy football, 315 touches and like a little bit over 1,800 total yards. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't think Swift is going to reach those heights, but 280 touches, 15 total yards, it's in the realm of possibility. And then with Swift running behind a much improved Lions offensive line, I'm like, this is a dark horse candidate to finish as the RB1, in my opinion, in fantasy. So
it's time to take playing fantasy football to the next level by going over to Prize Picks and getting involved in some NFL future props for this season. Getting started is super easy. Head over to prizepicks.com and sign up with the promo code FFPlaybook. It's going to get you a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Then you pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. I got the itch to play earlier today, and I was looking at some of the receiving props, and some of these were just too good to pass up. Let's look at Allen Robinson and Brandon Cooks. Now, it's risky to go for overs because injury could certainly derail production, but Robinson has a prop right now of just 850.5 receiving yards. In an offense that is going to see Matthew Stafford push for almost 5,000 passing yards, they can't all go to Cooper Kupp. This is one of my favorite props of the offseason. Additionally, Cooks currently has a line of 950.5 receiving yards. For a player who has 140 targets in my premium projections for this upcoming season, Cooks should easily clear that number and get over 1,000 yards yet again. Lock in the over there as well. From there, it's just a few clicks and you're ready to roll for 2022. Get involved in the incredibly easy way to play some over-unders and the opportunity to win 10 times on any entry over at prizepicks.com with the code FFPlaybook. Again, that's the code FFPlaybook to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. I put out a tweet earlier today looking at ADOT of quarterbacks last season, and there was more so a practice in trying to point out Patrick Mahomes' ADOT of last year, but the lowest ADOT last season was Jared Goff. And people are going to look at that and say, okay, well, that's, you know, not great for the overall Lions offense. It is great for DeAndre Swift, who is going to occupy that area of the field and going to see a ton of targets in that area. And you point out the injury history here, the injury concerns. yes, I do agree with you there that those concerns are absolutely there. However, I would be more concerned with that if DeAndre Swift was going off the board as the RB4, the RB5, or the RB6. In Fantasy Pros' ADP consensus, RB9 off the board. So you're getting that a little bit baked into his ADP. The talent level is 100% there for Swift to finish as a top five fantasy football running back, even without the scoring opportunities, because this Lions offense, I don't think it's going to be a top tier unit by any stretch of the imagination, but the overall volume is 100% going to be there for Swift. It all comes down to the injury concerns and how often can he stay on the field. I will stay here at the running back position. I will go with a guy who I have talked a ton about, so I'm not going to go in depth here. I'll turn it back over to you here really quickly, but AJ Dillon here is continuing that theme of what I pointed out with Leonard Fournette and James Conner from last year. We don't know how this backfield's going to play out. We don't know what the split is going to be between Aaron Jones, between AJ Dillon. Dillon could easily see an increased workload here this year with Jones moving around the formation as a wide receiver. I think this offense is going to flow through the running backs, right? We talked about Romeo Doubs earlier on in this episode. I mean, it's Romeo Doubs. He's a rookie wide receiver. And then you got Sammy Watkins and Randall Cobb and Christian Watson, who's not even on the field right now. There's a ton of unknowns at that wide receiver core. I think they're going to flow through the running backs. I think AJ Dillon is going to see an increased workload this year, and he easily could score 10 plus rushing touchdowns this year. It's in the range of outcomes and the upside potentially for him to finish as a top five running back if something were to happen to Aaron Jones is absolutely there. And we don't want that, of course, but it's something to consider, especially when you look at his ADP. ADP consensus over on Fantasy Pros, AJ Dillon, RB26 off the board. A lot of people are thinking that Dillon is nothing more than a high-end insurance running back. They're talking about him like, the Alexander Madisons, the Tony Pollards. That's how they're thinking about him. Maybe just a little bit more than that. I think he is absolutely going to see a ton of work this year, and I think he could push into that league winner conversation. He's someone that I am targeting everywhere that I can. So AJ Dillon there as my league winner number two. All right, let's turn it back over to you. League winner number three, where are we going?
Love it. I was just, I want to say preach, brother, preach when talking about AJ Dillon. Totally agree with you there. I'm very high on him as well. So we're looking at another league winner. Let's see where to go with this. Well, let's go ahead and put it out there, Kyle. So let's talk about Trey Lance. Let's do it.
All right.
let's do it. So he's a guy that's getting a lot of buzz, a lot of similarities. You look at Lance and like Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. So as a rookie, Jackson started a few games, started a few games as a rookie. The next season, put together really one of the best fantasy football seasons in league history. I think we all remember it fondly. So both were first round picks. So I look at Lance, and he's someone who's in a good spot to follow in Jackson's footsteps. So we look at Lance. So I know last season, his rookie season, he sat out most of the season, did start two games. He finishes a top 10 fantasy quarterback in one. And the other, he had around 16 rushing attempts, which is good. So from a film perspective, Lance has some pros and cons, which, let's be candid. It's not uncommon for rookies in NFL, when you look at them on film, to have some pros and cons. So here were a few statistical observations with the small sample size we had. Now, he did have a lower completion rate in QBR than Jimmy G. It's worth mentioning that Lance did attempt more difficult throws, averaging 10.2 air yards per attempt. That was actually the highest mark in the league among quarterbacks of 50 passes. So it is definitely concerning, I'll say, with how long Lance did hold on to the football. So among the 53 QBs with at least 50 passes, Lance had the highest average time to pass of any of them. Like the league average time to throw among those 53 QBs was actually 2.7 seconds. And so, these are just some of the things that I'm sure Lance is focusing on improving in the offseason. All the rookies have a big jump from their first season to their next. But to bring all that together, I'm like, you look at Lance's potential, I'd say, as a passer. We're all enamored by his rushing ability, and rightfully so. This is someone that has the potential to finish as a top five fantasy quarterback. Looking at Lance's average draft position, I know it's all over the place, Kyle, right, when you look at different platforms, but like on ESPN, I know he's a QB13, at least right now. Mm-hmm. 49ers have a solid offensive line, with high-end potential entering this season. He's got a top tight end in George Kittle, guy that's leads all tight ends with 2.69 yards per route run. Two great receivers. We talked about Brandon Ayuk. We talked about Debo Samuel. We all know what he's capable of as a receiver and a rusher. And so I think the stage is really set for Lance to have a career-defining season. So he's someone I'm targeting quite a bit if he's there.
I was targeting Trey Lance everywhere in drafts last year because I thought that he was going to come out and be the starter eventually. He was someone that was, he might not start the first few weeks of the season, but when he does start, we're looking at the upside. And a lot of people this offseason have been drawing the comparison Trey Lance to Jalen Hurts. And I want to push back on that because Jalen Hurts and Trey Lance as passers are nowhere in the same league, right? Like Jalen Hurts can bring you a ton with his legs. Trey Lance can bring that as well on top of having a rocket arm and being a lot more talented as a passer than I think a lot of people realize. And the news that we've been hearing here with Trey Lance this offseason, and I'm building on your case because he's also a league winner for me at the quarterback position here, is looking at Lance, he's been talking about the more that I get onto the field, the more that I'm preparing, like the more that I'm in these practices, the game is slowing down a little bit. And beat reporters are starting to observe that too. They're starting to say like, as training camp has progressed, he's actually improving here. And I think that's only going to continue as we move throughout the year. So what you're going to get in weeks 1, 2, 3, whatever, is a very, very high floor because of his rushing ability. Though if it does click, if it really starts to slow down and we get those really, really solid matchups, he could be the QB1 on the week easily because of what he brings you, not only as a runner in the red zone too. You're talking about read option runs, you know, at the goal line. Trey Lance can get you easily 8+ rushing touchdowns on the year. He can give you what Jalen Hurts did last year on top of just getting the ball into the hands of his playmakers and letting them create. So Trey Lance is absolutely a league winner for me as well, and especially to QB13. You said on ESPN, he's QB13, Yahoo, QB13, Fantrax, QB14, RT Sports 13, Sleeper 13. So outside of the top 12 quarterbacks is ridiculous to me. And I know there's a ton of talent at the quarterback position this year, but if I can wait until one of the final rounds to take a shot on Trey Lance there, because everyone else in my league has drafted a quarterback, I'm 100% going to do that. Trey Lance, a league winner at the quarterback position this year for me as well. All right, final league winner, Eric, where are we going?
Yeah, let's go to the tight end position here. I feel like I'm on a game show. So we're going to go to the tight end position here. So I've been talking a lot about this individual like all offseason, but you know, I'm going to go with Cole Kmet here. He's just someone I'm targeting like in a lot of my leagues. And again, going back to ESPN's live draft trends, like he's a tight end 15, but you know, I'll say he's capable of so much, much more. You look at Kmet, he does seem optimistic about the Bears offense under the new coaching regime going into this year. I'm like, last year, his production nearly doubled. I'm like, he caught 60 passes for 612 yards. Also had a very impressive catch rate of 64.5%, but he didn't have any touchdowns. However, if you look at Kmet, he ranked 8th among tight ends in targets of 93. I think the Bears, you know, they leaned heavily on the tight end position last year. You know, they accounted for like 25% of the team's completions last season. Just given the state of the Bears' like wide receiver room, I think that trend is going to continue. So you go into this season, Darnell Mooney is obviously going to be the top dog. He's going to get his, as they say. But Kmet, I think he's going to be the Bears' second option in the passing game. And I think with the new offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, we'll get him more involved as well, and particularly in the red zone, which I think is what a lot of fantasy managers want. You know, he did train this offseason with Mooney and Justin Fields, which is another good sign. And I just think he's definitely in the mix at the tight end position to have a breakout season. And you know, if you miss out on, you know, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts, you know, add George Kittle to that mix, I just rather wait on someone like Cole Kmet later in the draft. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at the tight end position for fantasy, if you don't have that guarantee, right, with the top tier guys that we talked about there that you just listed off, if you don't have that, shoot for the volume. And we have that opportunity for Cole Kmet this year, where it is Darnell Mooney, and then you're looking at Equanimeous St. Brown listed as a starting wide receiver, Velus Jones, Byron Pringle. Like, this wide receiver core, someone else has to catch passes. And this offense here is going to be playing in negative game scripts. This team is going to be playing in negative game scripts. They're going to have to throw the ball a bit more than what I think we're projecting. So the opportunity is there for Cole Kmet to easily see over 100 targets this year, to be the main option in the red zone because of his size. I think he is worth the shot there. And tight end 13 in ADP consensus over on Fantasy Pros, he's absolutely worth a shot there. All right, final league winner for me. This does not fall underneath the criteria and kind of theme that I was talking about earlier, but this is just a player that I love. Can't stop drafting everywhere because of his ADP. Let's go Gabriel Davis. I have talked about Gabriel Davis here a lot this offseason. We talked about Isaiah McKenzie earlier on in this episode, and a lot of people early on in the offseason, a lot of analysts were saying, well, Jamison Crowder could be that target hog that could lead Gabriel Davis to not being, you know, not returning value on his ADP. And I was going, no, like, this is going to be Gabe Davis's opportunity here as the wide receiver two in this dynamic offense. He knows how to score touchdowns. Through the first 2 years of his career, Davis has averaged 16.4 yards per reception and has 13 touchdowns in the regular season on just 70 receptions. If we increase that opportunity here for Davis, we saw what he did in the playoff game against Kansas City. Like the sky is the limit here. There is a realistic chance that we see Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis both finish as top 12 wide receivers this year. I would not be shocked at it. And you can get Davis at a ridiculous ADP right now in the 20s, right? So this is something where Davis fits into that criteria where a league winner that is a little bit lower in ADP, or a wide receiver that's a little bit lower in ADP, but could absolutely be a league winner because he finishes much, much higher than that when the season is done. Gabriel Davis there as my fourth and final league winner. All right, Eric, this was a ton of fun. It's always fun to get on a microphone with you and chop it up. Why don't you let everyone know what you got going on over at ESPN and where they can find more of you and your work?
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to do that. And I'll say, first of all, hey, thanks again for the invite. It's always great to talk fantasy football and just kind of catch up on this thing called life, you know, that we're in. And so, yeah, everyone can find, you know, all of my content, whether it's written content, audio content, or video content over at ESPN. So I wear multiple hats. You know, I do cover the NFL, NBA, and WNBA, not only from a fantasy sports lens, but also from a sports betting lens as well. So you can follow me on social, whether it's Instagram, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it, at Eric N. Moody. So I have the same handle on all those platforms. So yeah, follow me there. You know, if you like all those things I mentioned, but also a little bit of 1990s nostalgia, you'll be right at home.
I don't know how you do it, man. I have my brain at full capacity with all the NFL stuff. I don't know how you add on the other stuff. I don't know how it all fits in there, but excellent at what you do. It was always fun to chat and loved what the league winners that you had to mention here. All right, that'll do it. Remember, go over to youtube.com/thefantasyplaybook, like this video and hit the subscribe button. Help support the channel there. 6,000 subscribers closing in on it in under 6 months. Let's reach that goal. All right, that'll do it for Eric Moody. I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.